This is VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Dan and I present news stories, as does John Russell. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report. Finally, Kelly Jean Kelly tells us about the life and presidency of Theodore Teddy Roosevelt. But first...
China on Wednesday repeated its military threats against Taiwan. The country also withdrew a promise not to send troops or administrators to Taiwan if it controls the island. China stated the policy in a document called The Taiwan Question and China's Reunification in the New Era. The document came after nearly a week of missile firings and military exercises around the island in reaction to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. China has long declared that self-governing Taiwan is a part of its territory. Its 2005 anti-secession law says the island could be brought under control by force if necessary. China restated its policy, saying, "We will not renounce the use of force." It promised to take all necessary measures to guard against external interference and all separatist activities. In the document, China again promised peaceful reunification under one country, two systems. It stated, "Taiwan may continue its current social system and enjoy a high degree of autonomy in accordance with the law." It was the same promise that China made with the former British colony of Hong Kong, which returned to Chinese rule in 1997. The document recognized that Hong Kong faced a period of damaging social unrest, and order was restored. In two earlier documents related to Taiwan from 1993 and 2000, China had said that it will not send troops or administrative personnel to be based in Taiwan after reaching what it describes as reunification. That line of language did not appear in the latest document. Another line in the 2000 document said anything can be negotiated if Taiwan does not seek independence. That line is also missing from the latest document. Zhu Guilan is an expert from the Institute of Taiwan Studies at Tsinghua University. He told the state-run Global Times that the new document was published in preparation for the upcoming Communist Party Congress. Zhu added that China's economic and military power is now greater than ever. All major Taiwanese political parties have rejected the one country, two systems proposal. The policy has almost no public support on the island. Taiwan's Mainland Affairs Council condemned the latest document. It said the document was full of lies, of wishful thinking, and disregarded the facts. It also said the Republic of China, Taiwan's official name, was a sovereign state. Only Taiwan's 23 million people have the right to decide on the future of Taiwan, the council said. China appears to have ended its week-long military exercises that affected air traffic and shipping in the area. Its defense ministry said the exercises had met the goal of sending a warning to those favoring Taiwan's independence and their foreign supporters.
American tennis player Serena Williams said this week that she is ready to leave the sport and turn her attention to being a mom. Williams announced her decision in the magazine Vogue and on her Instagram account. She wrote in Vogue, "There comes a time in life when we have to decide to move in a different direction. That time is always hard when you love something so much. My goodness, do I enjoy tennis. But now the countdown has begun." Williams noted on Instagram, "I have to focus on being a mom." Williams, who turns 41 next month, suggested that the upcoming U.S. Open Championship could be her last tournament. Williams has won 23 Grand Slam titles in her long career. She won her first Grand Slam 23 years ago at the 1999 U.S. Open. Williams won her 23rd Grand Slam at the 2017 Australian Open. No one knew it at the time, but Williams was 2 months pregnant. She gave birth to her daughter Olympia later that year on September 1st. Williams wrote in Vogue that she wants to grow her family and have a second child. The tennis champion wrote, "I never wanted to have to choose between tennis and a family. I don't think it's fair. If I were a guy, I wouldn't be writing this, because I'd be out there playing and winning, while my wife was doing the physical labor of expanding our family." That feeling is something that many women can relate to. Sherry Randolph is a history professor at Georgia Tech University. She is working on a book about African American mothers. She said, "Society makes women think that they can have everything all at once, be the best hands-on mom and at the top of the field." Jo McKinney, who is 57, is a New York advertising executive. She said, "I got goosebumps as I read Serena's piece, because she said what many of us feel and are afraid to voice. It's not fair, and something's got to give." "The choices are even more difficult for women in professional sports," said Lisa Banks. She is an employment lawyer who works on gender and sports. "You can have it all, but can you have it at the same time and the same level if you were going through pregnancies? No, you miss some time, you miss training," she said. Other female sports stars, like American runners Allyson Felix and Alicia Montano, have lost sponsorship money after getting pregnant. Dirica Hamby is a professional basketball player with the Women's National Basketball Association. Like Williams, Hamby has a 5-year-old daughter. She said Williams has been an example for a lot of us, especially mothers being able to compete at such a high level. Hamby said she has talked a lot with other players about choosing between motherhood and professional sports. She said, "It's the reality of the world we live in."
Wildlife experts in the United States are struggling with a problem. As some kinds of threatened animals increase in number, they put pressure on other at-risk creatures. Experts say these kinds of situations involve trade-offs, but they do not necessarily show problems with special protection programs or the U.S. Endangered Species Act. These trade-offs show the importance of protecting what some scientists call biological communities rather than individual species. The famous bald eagle's comeback has pressured rare water birds. Peregrine falcons are also making a comeback. but they threaten the birds called the California least tern and western snowy plover. And, off the California coast, attacks from protected white sharks are hurting the recovery of threatened sea otters. Stuart Pym is with Duke University in North Carolina. He is an extinction specialist. Clearly, there are occasions when we get these conflicts between species that we're trying to protect, Pym said. But is it a major worry in conservation? No, he added. Conservation means the protection of animals, plants, and natural resources. Bruce Stein is a scientist with the National Wildlife Federation. Stein suggested that animal recoveries can produce trade-offs. That is because some animals are more adaptable than others to changes in the climate or land. Stein said, "A lot of ecosystems where these things are occurring are a little out of whack to begin with because we've altered them in some way." He added, "With climate change, there are going to be winners and losers. The losers will tend to have specific habitat requirements, narrow ecological niches, and often will be the ones already declining." Recovery of America's national bird, the bald eagle, is a success. But in one area of Maine, the large bird creates a problem for the only U.S. breeding population of another kind of bird, great cormorants. When they're disturbed by eagles, the adult cormorants will leave their nests, said Don Lyons, a scientist at the National Audubon Society's Seabird Institute. Then gulls, crows, and other birds fly in to eat cormorant eggs and young. If this happens repeatedly, an entire colony can fail, Lyons said. Lyons' team organizes volunteers to camp near cormorant gatherings to keep away eagles. But conflicts between recovering species and ones still in trouble do not always mean something is wrong, scientists say. Such conflicts could be a return to how things were before humans got involved. I'm John Russell.
The American Space Agency, NASA, recently released the first images observed by its powerful James Webb Space Telescope. NASA officials said the new images represented the Webb's ability to gather data and capture observations in more depth and detail than any other space telescope ever built. The images, which showed distant space clouds and objects in highly colorful detail, were widely shared online. Many social media users commented on the extreme clarity and depth seen in the pictures. NASA has said the high level of detail is made possible because the Webb telescope was built with the latest technology to observe infrared light. The new images were released July 12th. NASA has continued to release information and images about the Webb on the telescope's official Twitter page. Recently, a French scientist also published a tweet that included an image he claimed had been observed by the Webb. The scientist is Étienne Klein, a well-known physicist in France and the director of research at the country's Alternative Energies and Atomic Energy Commission. The image Klein posted appeared as a round object surrounded by a black background. The object was mostly deep red, with other small round shapes appearing yellow, orange, and white. Klein wrote on Twitter that the object was a web-captured image of Proxima Centauri, the nearest star to the Sun. Klein described his excitement at the posted image. "This level of detail, a new world is revealed every day," he wrote. But in fact, as Klein later admitted, the picture was not of Proxima Centauri. Instead, the image showed a cut piece of Spanish sausage called chorizo. The physicist said he published the image and tweet as a joke. Some internet users immediately recognized the image as being false. Others, however, retweeted it with excitement as another great example of the observation abilities of the Webb telescope. Some social media users later created memes to make fun of Klein's Twitter post. These included low-tech attempts to show a range of everyday objects meant to look like space objects. In admitting his joke, Klein wrote that in modern astronomy, no object belonging to Spanish charcuterie exists anywhere but on Earth. Klein said he realized many users had not understood his joke. He said his reason for posting the image was to urge the public to be wary of arguments from people in positions of authority. One Twitter user agreed with Klein's thinking and said he found the post funny. He added, "And it should teach you a valuable lesson not to blindly believe everything you read without questioning it." But others suggested such a joke did nothing to help the problem of false news that continues to flood the internet and social media services. One user tweeted, "Misinformation is dangerous. We believe in almost everything we are told, and we don't have doubts when a scientist provides information." Another wrote Klein's action represented a misuse of power and called for the scientist to be fired. Klein later issued an official apology, saying he was sorry for what he described as a scientist's joke. "I come to present my apologies to those who may have been shocked by my prank, which had nothing original about it," he wrote. A short time later, he posted another picture on Twitter, but this time it was an actual James Webb image released by NASA. He urged Twitter users to trust him this time that the image of the famous Cartwheel Galaxy was truly real. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th President of the United States. Many Americans like to call him Teddy Roosevelt or even TR. These nicknames for the president show that Roosevelt was, in general, popular with the public. He is one of the four presidents whose face can be seen on Mount Rushmore, a memorial to famous U.S. leaders. Historians note that Roosevelt's term in office marks the beginning of the modern presidency. In other words, he expanded the position and used the media to connect with the public. Among Americans, his public image is often linked to youth, energy, strength, courage, and playfulness. But his image has also been linked to a strong liking for military action and for oneself. Theodore Roosevelt is also often tied to the American West, but he was born and raised on the East Coast in New York City. His father was a wealthy businessman. His mother was from a Southern planter family that owned slaves. Theodore Roosevelt had two sisters and a brother. His family called him by another nickname, Teddy. When he was a boy, young Theodore was often sick. He had asthma, a lung condition that could make physical activity difficult. So, as he got older, Roosevelt strengthened his body. For the rest of his life, he strongly believed in physical exercise and vigorous activity, what he called the strenuous life. Young Roosevelt also had hunger for learning. He studied with private tutors, traveled overseas, and studied many subjects while in college at Harvard. After his college years, he studied law briefly and then began serving in public office in New York. But tragedy halted his early government service. Roosevelt had married Alice Hathaway Lee, who soon became pregnant. But 2 days after the baby was born, Roosevelt's wife died of kidney disease. And as it happened, Roosevelt's mother died on the same day, in the same house. She suffered from Bright's disease, another disorder affecting the kidneys. The future president was struck by grief. He left his baby daughter with his sister and went to the American West. There, Roosevelt lived as a cowboy, hunting, riding horses, taking part in cattle drives, and even chasing people who broke the law. The experience helped define Roosevelt's life and beliefs. But after 2 years, he was ready to return to the East Coast. There, he married Edith Kermit Caro, a woman he had known since childhood. They settled in a house on Long Island, New York, and raised Roosevelt's daughter, Alice. He and Edith also had 5 other children. His family supported Roosevelt's rise in Republican Party politics, including his campaign to become governor of New York. But some of the party officials were not happy with Roosevelt. They did not like his independence, and they did not want him to be reelected as governor. So they plotted to have him nominated as U.S. vice president in the election of 1900. They believed Roosevelt would not be able to give them much trouble in that position. As the Republican leaders hoped, Roosevelt and the sitting president, William McKinley, won both the popular and electoral vote in a landslide. But less than a year later, McKinley was dead. And with that, Republican leaders found that the man they wanted to get out of their way was now the country's 26th president. When he became president, Roosevelt was only 42 years old. He is still the youngest person to hold that office. At first, Roosevelt promised to continue the policies of McKinley, who was, after all, the president voters had reelected. But Roosevelt quickly put his own mark on the presidency. He is known for trying to balance the needs of many groups in society, including business owners, farmers, and workers. Roosevelt called his program the Square Deal. In other words, he suggested that everyone was treated fairly. However, some Americans objected to Roosevelt reducing the power of big businesses. They said his use of government rules, in general, did not let market forces operate freely. Roosevelt is also known for protecting the nation's wilderness areas. He set aside more than 800,000 square kilometers of land to protect nature and wildlife. In his foreign policy, Roosevelt was energetic. He helped Panama win independence from Colombia in order to start building the Panama Canal. He also defended, and even added to, the Monroe Doctrine, an idea from the presidency of James Monroe. Roosevelt confirmed that the United States would bar European powers from intervening in South America, and, more than that, that the U.S. would police the Western Hemisphere and make sure that countries honored their international obligations. In other words, Roosevelt believed the United States had the right and responsibility to be a world power. If diplomatic negotiations did not work, he was not afraid to threaten the use of force. He famously said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick. You will go far." Voters approved of Roosevelt's actions, or at least they enjoyed his leadership and his young family that played all over the White House. In 1904, Roosevelt easily won the presidency in his own right. He is the first vice president who took power after the death of a sitting president to earn his own term. Although he was permitted to seek another term as president, Roosevelt promised not to. He left the White House in 1909, still a very young man. For a while, he traveled overseas, but when he returned home, he did not like the direction the new president and the Republican Party was going. So Roosevelt created a new political group called the Progressive Party, or as some called it, the Bull Moose Party. Not surprisingly, the term Bull Moose was meant to suggest Roosevelt and his animal-like strength. Although he earned many votes, Roosevelt did not win the 1912 election. Instead, he split the votes of the Republican Party and permitted a Democrat to win the presidency. Roosevelt's efforts were not entirely lost, however. Later presidents, including Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John Kennedy, and Lyndon Johnson, used many of his ideas for reform. And major U.S. political parties today often find lessons from Roosevelt's presidency they admire or support. Both Democrat Bill Clinton and Republican George W. Bush said Theodore Roosevelt was one of their role models. In the years after the 1912 election, Roosevelt remained active. He traveled, campaigned, and continued to try to influence politics from his home in New York, where he died unexpectedly in his sleep at age 60. One public official observed, "Death had to take Roosevelt sleeping, for if he had been awake, there would have been a fight." I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.